Do you know your net worth? Or can you even list all your financial accounts? Believe it or not, most people can't. The problem is simple. When you don't track your finances, you leave hard-earned money on the table by overspending and undersaving. Monarch is the solution, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, you can link all your accounts to see a clear, complete picture of your financial health. With data visualizations and AI-driven insights, Monarch helps you spot patterns, cut wasteful spending, and make better financial decisions without ever touching a spreadsheet. Monarch more than pays for itself. In fact, users save over $200 a month on average. That's why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch the best budgeting app of 2025. Get 50% off your first year. That's just $50 total when you use code LEGACY at monarch.com. That's monarch.com. Promo code LEGACY. Monarch, the modern way to manage money.
Seems like everybody has a dog, but that's not the truth. Only half of Americans have a dog at home. And they're saying that, obviously, some people are dog people and some people are not. But there are four big benefits of owning a dog.
Okay, well, I would encourage everybody who does not have a dog to try it because they will change your life. I was never a dog guy myself growing up. I didn't think I wanted the hassle of taking care of one, but I would trade everything for my puppies now.
And I will say that I am a rescue dog mom and I love my Lila, but she will be my first and last dog that I ever have.
So sad, but I'm glad you tried.
I did. And I will love her till the last day, and that's for sure. But, you know, they came up with this list of the four big benefits of having a dog, and a lot of it makes a lot of sense. Structure and routine. Like, you have to get up in the morning to feed them, going on walks. It's good for you, too, because it's keeping somebody is depending on you, which is giving you purpose.
Yeah, purpose is a big deal, right? If you have depression, especially, it's very difficult to get yourself up and just do the regular things you have to do every day. But if your little guy's looking at you, what are you going to do? You have to feed that creature.
Companionship. Having a dog by your side can ward off feelings of loneliness, as we're talking about. I remember when my father-in-law passed away. And my husband and his brothers were all of a sudden like, we're going to get mom a dog.
Right.
I was like, I don't know if that's the right idea. It was the right idea.
100%.
That dog became her everything for as long as I could remember. Number three, mood boost. A lot of dog owners say they feel joy from interacting with their dog. And some say they get happier just by looking at their dog.
When I've had a rough day, I walk in. The dog never cares. Super happy to see you. And you can just go ahead and relax with them for a little bit or wrestle. And you just say, you know what? Whatever's going on, it's not that big of a deal.
And the fourth biggest benefit of having a dog, according to this new study, is that it creates connection. Dogs can help you meet and connect with other people, too. So that's basically like you're using that dog like some guys use babies to pick up chicks.
Okay, I'm not going to argue with those results.
Although I feel like that's the one I would argue with because when you go to dog parks, instead of like starting conversations, I think it creates tension. Your dog pushed my dog. You didn't pick up after your dog.
It can happen that way. It's true. And if you're a helicopter dog parent, that can go that way too. But there's dozens of reasons why I love my puppies, Anna.
Give me your four benefits of having a dog.
First off, Barkley is the best vacuum cleaner you've ever met.
Yeah.
Anything that I eat or drop on the floor or anything of that, I haven't picked something up off the floor that's edible in probably, I don't know, 10 years.
Problem with Lila Bear, my rescue, is that she doesn't eat fruits or vegetables like my children. They're very similar. So if I give her a vegetable or a piece of fruit, she will go leave it in the living room for me.
Barkley will eat lettuce, carrots, cucumbers. I mean, again, he'll eat anything.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Lint is a big concern with him.
Understandable.
I would say he's a furry, warm armrest. So if you take a nap on the couch and you're like, you know, like when it's not warm enough for you to have no blanket, but the blanket is way on the other side of the room, you don't want to get up for the blanket, grab a dog.
Oh.
Perfect.
Okay.
He's also my bathroom companion. So you don't have your phone, you go in, you're going to be in the bathroom for a minute, he's in there to talk to you.
He goes in the bathroom with you?
All the time. He follows me everywhere I go.
It's bad enough that I have the kids in the bathroom with me. The last thing I want is Lila in there, too. Like, it's a family party.
It's a little awkward when we have people over because I have to close the door, and he doesn't like that. He doesn't like being shut in.
Oh, wow.
But he does love to come to the
bathroom
with me.
That's so weird that your dog goes to the bathroom with you all the time. It's really interesting.
What's weird is when they both go to the bathroom with me at the same time. And then marriage counselor. I mean, sometimes you just got to have a conversation where you're soundboard, you drop some stuff on your pet, and they give you that look like, yeah, that's believable. Or I wouldn't say that out loud, Dad.
Right. What is adult sleepaway camp, and why do I want to go so incredibly badly now?
I mean, it sounds awesome.
Yeah. Joining us, it's Rachel Hale. She is a youth mental health reporter at USA Today, and I saw your article about going to, it's an adult sleepaway camp, but for you, it was all women, and I said, this is everything I want in my life.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It was a ton of fun to get to go for a story. There are a few different types of all-adult sleepaway camps, but I went to Camp Social in the Poconos, all women, and it's geared toward solo participants. So the tagline is 99% arrive solo, 100% leave as friends. I showed up alone with my bags, you know, got on the bus from New York City, and something like 450 other women joined me from that weekend from all around the country and the world.
I mean, that's going to be interesting, right? I mean, the first part that, you know, jumps out at me is everybody comped? Is somebody being sent there like you that, you know, they're kind of going on this discovery, or are they seeking it out themselves and saying, you know what, this seems like a good investment. I'm going to do this.
I do think people are seeking it out themselves, and it's a hefty price tag. A lot of people found it on Instagram or TikTok. One girl even told me that she asked ChatGPT, how do I make more friends? And it came up as an option. So I think a lot of people kind of sourced it organically.
That's cool.
There's a huge group of people that are lonely, and I think that this kind of answers that. And I know that you're a youth mental health reporter, so you probably see a lot of this. It's difficult for some people to make friends, and especially for women that are living in places where they didn't grow up, or, you know, to be friends as an adult, it's a whole different ball game. Did you feel like you actually made real friends when you were there?
Yeah, and I think that what you just touched on is absolutely true. You know, our loneliness epidemic is a public health crisis. And I did find that a lot of the women coming there, regardless of whether they were in their 20s or maybe were a mom, they were coming there looking for more friends. Mm. And I do feel like I made some genuine friendships in my cabin. We were bunked by age. And one of the girls in my cabin even invited me to like a breakfast cafe event that she's hosting at her apartment next week.
Oh, that's fun.
To me, I think like sense of adventure, we're getting out, we're trying new things, rock climbing or whatever. So you said you're broken up by age demographic here. Are the activities broken up by your interests as well? Or is it kind of like there's one set itinerary, show up or don't show up when these things are going on?
The itinerary is pretty freeform. One girl told me that her biggest concern was just choosing and not being able to do everything, you know?
Right.
Yoga by the lake, Pilates, breath work, meditation, tubing on the lake, rock climbing, archery, pretty much anything that you can think of at a standard summer camp. And yeah, you could kind of choose throughout the day which ones you wanted to do.
Joining us, it's Rachel Hale. She's a youth mental health reporter at USA Today, talking about her time at adult sleepaway camp. Do you think that this is catching on and you're going to see more of these across the country?
I do. I wonder if there will be, you know, someone out there who says men could use this too and kind of come up with an adjacent idea. I did have some readers who emailed me and asked if there were one for men, you know, so I do think that it'll continue to catch on.
I know Anna is very interested in whittling wood.
No,
so.
No, she got to go down water slides. Like, it's all the things I want to do that are silly, but it's bougie and you can drink, correct?
Correct.
And you don't have to wear makeup either, right? Like, it's encouraged just to be natural.
No, it was very low-key. And also, like you said, I know that there's some other camps out there that are tied to specific organizations. I think the whole thing about Camp Social is they wanted it to be just fun. There's not really any, like, deep mental work that you're doing there. It's really just you're having a good time.
Was there any mean girl cliques?
No, I did not find that. I will say, though, something that's maybe surprising is the most popular age group there are women 40 and up. And I found that those were the cabins where people seem to be getting the closest and like really forming those deep bonds.
That's cool. And interesting. Yeah. Rachel, thank you so much for taking the time today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm going to go sign up for summer camp right now.
Google Trends was super haunted this weekend with the top searched questions all about spooky things.
Well, it's that time of year. Makes sense, right? People, they're paranoid. If they've got questions, that's where you go for answers.
Top three questions on Google Trends right now. Number one, what happens if you touch Annabelle? So Annabelle is the real world Raggedy Ann doll that's supposed to be possessed by the devil. It was made famous from the Conjuring movies.
Mm-hmm.
What actually happened is that it started in the 1970s when two nursing students started claiming that the doll would move on its own and they would leave eerie notes for them.
I mean, miss me. Watch that movie if you haven't seen it.
Anyway, so
she bangs on the door.
A psychic said that it was possessed by a young girl named Annabelle Higgins. And then the paranormal investigators, the Warrens, they got involved and they said, yep, it's possessed.
And they yeah, there's definitely something wrong here.
They put it in a glass case so that nobody else would die from it. And I, there's this video of Lorraine Warren. She gave a tour of the her demon museum and she went back by the doll. And this is what she said.
This is the worst thing in here. It's that doll. I'm not gonna stare at it though. So you can take the picture, but I'm not gonna stare at it because that has done bad harm on a lot of people.
Recently in the news again because it was on tour.
Right.
And the guy who had it had a heart attack and died in his hotel room.
Yeah, he had it in the hotel room with him. You imagine being the person that's in the hotel and you're like, No. No. And he's like, I'm just going up to my room. And you're like, you're not bringing that, man.
Yep.
You're not doing that.
Second thing on Google Trends this weekend, biggest question being asked, the Hope Diamond, why is it cursed?
Originating from India, this stunning blue diamond was said to be stolen from the eye of a sacred statue, inciting a curse on all who possessed it. Mm-hmm. Its owners have faced untimely deaths, financial ruin, and immense misfortune. King Louis XIV, Marie Antoinette, and Evelyn Walsh McLean are just a few who suffered its alleged wrath.
Not to mention that old lady in Titanic, everybody else that went down. And the old lady was the only one that made it, but...
That wasn't the Hope Diamond.
No, I know, but I think of it the same way. I mean, listen, if you've watched any movie before, whatever, that ever dealt with antiquities, don't steal something from the big god statue.
Right.
That's
absolutely
just a rule of thumb. Mm-hmm. Anything that happened after that, you guys really invited it. It's kind of your fault.
Since 2004, Google says that is the most searched object, asking why is it cursed. For 20 years, people want to know why the Hope Diamond is cursed.
I mean, I don't know. It's big. It's worth a lot of money.
Top three questions being asked on Google over the weekend. The third one, why do hotels and office buildings not have a 13th floor?
The absence of a 13th floor comes down to triskaidekaphobia. The superstition surrounding 13 has deep roots in Western culture. Some trace it to the story of the Last Supper, where Judas the Apostle, who betrayed Jesus, was the 13th to sit at the table. Others point to Norse mythology, where an uninvited 13th guest at a banquet triggered chaos.
I always find it fascinating that everyone is... 13, oddly, for me and Raven, is a lucky number.
Yeah, it's always been good for me. It's not a problem.
But every time I walk into an office building and I see there's no 13th floor, or if I go into a hotel, mm-hmm. I can't even believe it.
Yeah.
As centuries turned and skyscrapers began to reshape city skylines, American builders paid attention. Was superstition really powerful enough to influence how these giant structures were laid out? For many, the answer was yes.
I mean, superstitions.
Comes down to money, right? Like, I mean, you're either booking that room or you're not. If everybody shows up to check into the hotel and they're like, can I have another floor? It does become a problem.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine my surprise when we pulled into the garage with a car filled with groceries and bags after a long day out over the weekend. Mm. And I asked all the kids, I have two of them. I asked both the children to please help me bring everything inside.
You're going to help me, right?
Yeah. And then my daughter shouted two words and I slowly turned around towards her.
Dakota, remember last night when we were getting out of the car and I asked everybody to bring some stuff in?
Yeah.
What did you say?
Not it.
Not it. Now, by saying not it, what do you think that means?
It's like from a game. So like everybody says like not it.
And then what happens when you say it?
And then last person to say not it has to do it.
Yeah.
And everyone's got to touch their nose, she explained to me as well.
The last person who does not say not it, they're it.
Right.
Obviously, that's what happens.
And has to bring in all the groceries and all the bags from
or
the car.
Do whatever the task is, whatever the thing is. They have to do that.
Yep.
So you think that just by saying not it and touching your nose, that you don't have to bring anything in from the car, even though I asked you nicely?
Yeah.
Do you think that works?
Yeah.
It doesn't. Not it is not a real thing. Got it? So when mommy asks you to do something, you just have to do it, okay? You can't just say not it and then run out of the car laughing.
Okay, not it.
She's so funny. She's so funny.
What happened, though, that time? Did she help with the groceries?
No.
Yeah.
Right. We're gonna work on that.
Yep.
But I've created a list of things. If you're a child and you're listening right now, pay attention.
Okay.
These aren't real things. Yelling not it, touching your nose, and then not doing what your parents said, not acceptable. There's no such thing as calling dibs You can't call dibs on something.
Come on now.
That's not a real thing.
I mean, I feel like even as adults, we've all done that plenty of times. I mean, you're hopping in a vehicle with three other people. You're not calling shotgun?
Also not a thing. No, that's not how you decide who sits in the front.
Who decides?
The driver.
Oh, man.
Last one is a rotten egg. There's no such thing as a rotten egg. If you're the last one, there's no need to cry, which I've seen happen with a lot of children. You're not actually a rotten egg. I'm invisible. You're not invisible.
Oh. Well,
you can't say, I'm invisible. No, we can see you. You're not.
Are you doing that out of jealousy now? Because that sounds a little bit envious right there is what that is. Okay.
You can't yell opposite day when somebody says something that you don't want or you don't want to do.
What if it is opposite day? It could be.
Opposite day is not a real day.
I've been to that day.
No, you haven't. It's not a get out of jail free card. It's not. If you step on a crack, mm-hmm. I hate to inform you, you're not going to break your mother's back.
Well, I know that one. That's easy.
Dakota, she stomps on cracks and then looks at me every single
time. She's waiting for you to fold up like a lawn chair.
Just to see.
Yep.
She's like, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then and the most important one.
Okay.
First is the worst. Second is the best. Third is the one with, there's variations, the treasure chest or the hairy chest.
That one I have not heard, actually. So
the hierarchy is nonsense.
Something.
It's nonsense there. No. Nobody has a hairy chest unless you're Raven, then probably.
I mean, is that everything?
That's everything you need to know. Those are not real things. Okay.
Okay, if you say so, but it feels like opposite day right now.
When clothes make noise.
That's a lot.
The science experiment. If you missed it last week, we were talking about the shoe company On. They are facing a class action lawsuit because customers are complaining that their cloud shoes make this noise.
Nice.
Yep. Not to be outdone, we also discussed this on the show because this woman went viral too because she was upset about her clothes making too much noise. This woman went viral on TikTok when she talked about her leather pants that she bought from The Gap.
I haven't been this embarrassed since fourth grade because I'm at a restaurant and I drop something accidentally and I go to pick it up and then, that did not come from my, no, the pants. Plenty to do.
And is it because they're pleather? Because I gotta imagine The Gaps aren't real leather either. I mean, was she sitting in a leather or vinyl booth or something? Because that's a lot right there. Somebody stepped on a duck.
Fascinatingly enough, the people at On say it depends on your feet if your shoes squeak or not, the way you walk.
Okay.
And I thought, well, is it because of your thighs and your butt if your pleather leather pants make that noise?
I suppose it could be, but they have to account for people that have those thighs and butt, right? Well, don't they?
So I decided to put it to the test. So last night, I did a fashion show for my daughter. And first thing I did was I put on my real leather pants.
Okay.
Okay, these are the real leather pants. They sound like loose pants. They're not squeaking. Let's try the bend over test. Smooth like butter.
Those are loud leather pants.
They're so loud.
It's weird.
Yeah, what I realized is that pants in general, made of leather and pleather, are noisy.
Yeah.
But could I make them squeak?
Okay.
So I put on a pair of pleather pants.
So you tried.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pleather pants. Walking. They're definitely noisier than the leather pants. Let me try the bend over test. Uh-huh. Noisy, but not passing gas sounds.
Okay. You know how you'd have that weirdo in your class that would, like, you know, put his hand under his armpit and make the sound right there?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, is this like, what did her derriere look like compared to yours?
Well,
was it like a shape and size thing?
So that was the thing. I tried on one pair of pleather pants and I go, this is not a good science experiment. And because I have a plethora of pleather at my house.
You do.
I did. I put on a second pair of pleather
this
pants.
Seems like a lot of pleather pants, but
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it made me realize that maybe I have an issue with pleather pants.
Yeah, maybe get rid of some, but okay.
Pleather pair number two.
Mm-hmm.
These make very little noise, and they're pleather. I'm going to bend over. Bending over. No noise.
Are they tight? Are they...
Yeah. So here's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah.
As my husband pointed out while I was conducting this science experiment.
I mean, you had him sitting through the whole thing, too.
He kept walking by the room being like, what are you doing? And I said, I'm doing science, obviously.
Yeah.
He pointed out, you have a pancake butt. And what that means is that there is no behind there.
Yeah.
It is just flat as a board.
Right.
Unfortunately, that's just the cards I've been dealt.
And this woman afflicted with this on TikTok.
I think this is like the on sneakers on who squeaks and who doesn't squeak.
Right.
If you've got a derriere and you've got a little bit behind you,
mm-hmm.
or you've got like some nice thighs that are a little shapely, I think you've got a bigger problem.
If you've got friction.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah, I mean, listen, you could walk with your legs spread back in the day with corduroy parachute pants if you had to sneak up on somebody.
Right.
But if you had to run down a hall and you had, you know, a little bit more voluptuous thighs like I did in fourth grade.
Right.
You could start a fire.
And yeah, you can hear people coming a mile away.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what we've learned. It all depends on your body if your clothes make noise or not.
Right.
It has to be one of the most brazen heists of all time. Or they're just filming a movie and we're all going to be punked.
No, I don't think that's what's going on here.
Trending is powered by T-Mobile. If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Right now, you can save big with T-Mobile's phone and home internet bundle. Visit your local store to learn more. It all happened at the Louvre yesterday.
The brazen heist completed in just minutes. Officials say at 9:30 a.m. local time, four men, disguised as construction workers, used this mechanical ladder to access the second floor balcony of the Louvre. CCTV capturing two of the thieves using power tools to cut into the Apollo Gallery, where French Emperor Napoleon III's crown jewels were on display.
Oh my gosh. Well, that seems like pretty easy of a job, basically.
9:30 in the morning, they dressed up as construction workers, got a ladder, and just went in with power tools?
Hide in plain sight, right? Did they get them, though?
Officials say the masked men moved efficiently using small chainsaws to open display cases. The suspects allegedly threatening security guards, who then evacuated the museum.
Wait a minute. The security guards get threatened by a guy with a mini chainsaw and then just let him leave with the jewels? Like, I mean, what kind of security do they have in France?
This is legitimately feet away from the Mona Lisa. And these security guards are like, yep, go ahead, take it. I mean, I guess.
I can't have you swing at me with your mini battery-powered chainsaw.
I'm sure they had real weapons, too, which is why they were like, yeah, take everything we have here.
Officials claim the suspects targeted nine pieces and stole eight priceless items, including sets of sapphire and emerald necklaces and earrings, elaborate diamond brooches. Prosecutors say Napoleon's wife, Empress Eugenie's diamond-encrusted golden crown, which is nearly 200 years old, was recovered at the scene, reportedly damaged and left behind by the suspects as they escaped on motorbikes.
I mean, and the rest of them are just at a pawn shop somewhere being melted down, removed already at this point. They left on motorcycles, too. It is straight out of a movie. Security guards, buck up. Come on right now. I mean, seriously, hit somebody with a baton. Throw something at them. Throw a shoe.
Do anything. I just don't understand how something like this happens.
Oh, heists still happen, man. I mean, you forget.
But 9:30 in the morning, dressed as construction workers on the side of the Louvre in Paris, the number one place visited when you go to Paris?
It's a good plan. I mean, just a couple of years ago, was that $20 million worth of gold was heisted from that airport in Toronto, right? Like, I mean, things happen. If you got a plan, right? If you're elaborate, a couple hard hats, visit to the spirit shop and a ladder. And you were ready to go.
They're talking about Napoleon's wife's crown. That thing had 1,300 diamonds in it. They just threw it on the side of the road.
Yeah, it was
because it was
gaudy.
Broken.
A little gaudy.
They're like, a little much here. We're gonna have to do. To me, this is crazy. And They got to find the guys. They can't find the guys. The French president said, "Don't worry, this is an attack on our democracy. We're gonna get them." But at that point,
don't worry.
What?
Yeah.
All this stuff is gonna be sold, melted down, and they're saying that because it's not actual art. Because it's actual jewels.
Yeah, jewels. If you take them out of the settings.
Yes, they're going to be taken out of the settings. They're going to be redone and they're going to be sold off.
Right. Yes. Right. They'll be recut and all that. And, you know, just a piece of history is lost at this point.
They're priceless jewels.
Yeah.
Priceless jewels from history.
Next time when you hire in security guards, make sure that they're armed or, you know, that they're ninjas or something.
They're dressed as. Okay. You could dress as anything for a heist.
Yeah.
Okay, they were dressed as construction workers. What are you dressing as?
I would like to dress as like a Victorian princess. That way I just walk in and you just put the necklace right on me.
That makes sense.
And then I walk out and people are like, did you see that costume?
Right.
Amazing.
Yeah, she was a pretty princess.
Yes, thank you. I feel pretty. Thank you.
Today we select a winner. It's a big day. So if you missed it, my father owns pizzerias and he took my dish off the menu and replaced it with Cousin Tony's pizza.
You know, here's the thing. That Anazap just ain't selling like it used to. All right.
Polo on,
time to move on.
Yeah, they took me. I was a chicken parm with sliced eggplant. Took me right off the menu.
I mean, they're his restaurants. You're his family. He can always bring them back.
Well, that's what he said.
At the end of the
when
world.
I told him that I was outraged, he said, well, create a pizza. What he said is, Anna, create a pizza that you like, that we think is good, and then I'll put you back on. Mm-hmm. So I asked you to come up with it. We narrowed it down to 10. You have voted, and we came up with the top three. We reached out to the top three people that created the pizzas this past Friday.
Hello?
Amaya?
Yes.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. How are you?
Hey.
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Congratulations on your pizza being selected as one of the top three.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm so excited. It sounds so good. So my idea was the lasagna pizza. So it has like a vodka sauce base because I recently had a lasagna with vodka sauce. That was delicious.
Okay.
With some ricotta on it, meatballs, and sauteed onions to kind of give it like that lasagna feel. I don't know. That just all sounds like it goes so well together.
My father agreed. So we're going to see when we actually put it together what it tasted like. But he heard that and it was by far his favorite ones. Here's the big question, Amaya. If you win, what do we call on this pizza?
Oh, that's a good question. I thought we were trying to do the contest to name it after you.
Well, no, we're going to name it after both of us. How about the Amaya and Anna pizza? Is that weird? Should we show things in more
Anna,
creative?
Amaya? How about you do Anna, Maya, but you do like a little comma thing in the middle there? I don't know.
Or Amaya lasagna. Amaya lasagna kind of sounds great. The mm-hmm. Amaya lasagna pizza. Right?
That does sound pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. All right, we'll let you know. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you playing along with us.
Next up, hi, Sarah Ann. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. We wanted to talk to you about your pizza because your pizza was selected as one of the top three as we're trying to get into my dad's pizzeria.
Yes, I'm scared of him.
I'm also scared of him. I grew up with him, so I understand.
Just of what he said about my pizza.
Right. So if you missed it, he called your pizza garbage. And,
This is the one that I'm really excited about.
Right. So do you want to describe what the pizza is?
Sure. Saute the garlic with some olive oil. Wait until it browns. Put some dark brown sugar in it. Make sure that's melted. And I know I did say shredded, but you could definitely do pieces like Raven wanted and put some pieces of chicken in there and some bacon bits. Make sure it's very, very well mixed. I've never done it on a pizza, to be honest, but I eat the chicken all the time. My family loves the chicken. Thought maybe putting it on a white pizza with like some garlic sauce and then top it off with the mozzarella.
I think it sounds delicious. And
same.
I think it's going to be surprising when we actually make it and we might change his mind. Or I could be wrong and he could yell at me.
Yeah, he could throw it
right
at you.
Yeah.
At your face.
You're right. I'm a little scared, like I said.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, again, that's what this thing is all about, right? Trying some new things. So could be a huge success.
Yes. I'm hoping it is.
And you suggested that we call it the Sarah Anna pizza if we get it passed, right? You want to stick with that?
I mean, I like it, but you could put your name first if you need to.
No. Take top billing. She's already got that here.
Yes, you could have top billing.
That's true.
Yeah. I'm excited to find out how it all went.
Well, the sad part is that we were unable to get the third person on the phone. They never reached back out to me for the breakfast pizza.
Well, as long as we have their recipe.
Okay, well, we have that, and we made all these pizzas on Saturday night. How did it go, and which one wins? It's coming up next. It's time to see which pizza is going to be the winning pizza that was created by you that's going to end up on my dad's pizzeria menu.
What word would you like to begin?
All right. So on Saturday night, I went to my dad's pizzeria. We made the three finalist pizzas, and then I had a whole bunch of family members and customers try them out. Zio Mario, which one are you having right now?
I'm having a chicken.
The brown sugar?
Brown sugar is excellent.
Yeah? You like it?
Yeah. It's pretty good.
So Zio Mario was really into the brown sugar pizza. Now, this was submitted by Sarah, and this will be called the Sarah Anna pizza if it wins. This is sauteed in garlic and oil with brown sugar and chicken and bacon pizzas.
And your dad thought it was sacrilegious when he first heard it.
Yeah, when he heard it described. So go ahead, try it, Raven. What do you think?
Okay. I'm eating all these cold, by the way.
I mean, I told you to go warm it up in the kitchen. You didn't want to.
No, I like pizza cold the day after. Sometimes it's better. Oh, it's good.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's got almost like a chicken teriyaki thing going on. It almost tastes like Chinese food in a way with pizza.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Mom, okay. Which one have you had that's a favorite?
I'm having the breakfast pizza, and it's delicious. The best.
All right, so let's try the breakfast pizza. Why are you shoving more of the brown sugar one in your mouth when you know you have to eat?
I thought I could cheat one more bite before.
I mean, no one's going to take it away from you, Raven.
I thought I could. I thought you were going to talk longer.
Now you got to try.
Now you got to talk longer for a minute.
Here's the thing about the breakfast pizza is that we've made that before growing up. Like, my dad has made that a lot, but it got so many votes. And we reached out to Annie, who's the one that created it. And she was supposed to email me and with a name and, like, to talk to us about it.
Yeah.
And she never did. So we don't have a name for this breakfast pizza. What do you think, Graven?
It's pretty good. It's not as striking as the other one to me, but I bet you it's different
hot.
When it's fresh.
And when it's hot it's and fresh, be fresh, it's delicious. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the breakfast pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one.
All right, Sylvia, you're trying the lasagna pizza. What do you think?
It's very, very good. I like it. I recommend it.
Recommend it. All right, good.
All right, try the lasagna pizza.
Nobody had a problem with any of these pizzas, it should be noted. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. Well, that's good.
Lasagna pizza is delicious.
It is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so what's the big winner?
So my dad has to make the ultimate decision, right? It's his restaurant. It's his menu.
All right, we're going to start with the breakfast pizza. Go ahead, Dad.
Okay, breakfast pizza. I've been making that for years. That's a good one.
It's his favorite. He loves the breakfast pizza, so I knew that that was going to be a favorite of his.
Okay.
Then we got the lasagna. We could have this for dinner. It was delicious.
It was really good. The lasagna pizza was outstanding, according to everybody.
Right now.
I mean, Raven, stop eating until we're off the air. What is wrong with you?
You said nobody was going to take it from me.
And then we got the one with the brown sugar, the bacon, and the chicken. Makes a good dessert pizza. All three of these things are winners.
Yeah, my dad called that brown sugar pizza garbage and then complained because it would take extra time for him to go saute all the garlic and the oil and the chicken and the brown sugar together.
Yeah.
But when you put it together, it was really, really good. But there can only be one winner.
Which one is it going to be that goes on the menu?
I say the breakfast pizza. The onions and the bacon and the mozzarella and the eggs.
He picks the breakfast pizza, except we have one problem.
What's that?
We don't have a name for it because she never got back to me. The one woman that never got back to me, Annie, on Facebook. So I decided we're going to call it...
The Anna Annie?
Breakfast with Anna and Raven.
Right? Oh, that's nice!
And we'll put it on the takeout menu.
Oh, look, I made it one way or the other.
Yep.
Good thing I was here to eat.
Yep.
Anna and Raven's Halloween Headlines.
Some radio stations report real news. We also report real news, but only having to do with Halloween because it's more fun that way.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
Yep.
You're not coming here for that.
Top three things trending in Halloween news today. Number one, a mom in California bought an old Scream mask at Goodwill, and then she put it on eBay. She's trying to get a buck back.
Sure.
I put it on an eBay auction starting at 99 cents because A, I don't know about these things, and B, I'm not here to price gouge. And within 30 minutes, it went from 99 cents to $405. And then the day after that, $540. And the winning bid was $780.
What a lot of people don't know is the Ghostface mask actually predates the movie. They came out 5 years before the movie hit theaters. And the mask that she bought at Goodwill was from a first-run production in 1991.
That's cool.
Why it was a collectible.
Yeah, because then once they got into the licensing and all that stuff, things changed. Not here to price gouge. Girl, you went to the store. You bought the item. You listed it. You better make something for the listing. What are you in this for charity? What are you doing here? You here to lose money?
I can guarantee. I've been holding on to my Ghostface mask for years now. I can guarantee you it's not worth more
than
$4.
Right.
Exactly.
Not one of those. Yeah.
A new report analyzed ghost sightings across North America, and they found out that New York is the most haunted state.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia, the least ghostly.
You know, that's a little bit surprising because I think a lot of people think of South
Louisiana,
yes.
New Orleans.
Well, right. That makes more sense.
I would think.
Yeah, but New York's been here a long time. That's what you forget. It's the longer, the more dead people, the more people in general.
Oh, that's true. There's probably more dead people.
100%.
Yeah. 100%. I don't know. There's dead people everywhere. And I think they can move around. They're ghosts. It's not like they have to get on a plane.
Yeah, but I feel like they haunt an area.
Mm.
That's what they do, right?
Also,
get on a plane.
The witches of TikTok, they want to boycott Crock-Pot because they mad. They big mad, Raven.
Oh, what's happening?
Witches, we have an official update from Crock-Pot on the Crock-Pot cauldron. They posted yesterday
shortly after I made a post about when is the cauldron coming, I'm going to keep posting until it arrives. They said, we acknowledge that everybody's been asking for the cauldron. They posted a bunch of the comments and a bunch of the messages from people asking, where is this cauldron that we were promised last year? And so they said that there will not be a crockpot cauldron.
Why was there going to be one to begin with? When I think of cauldron, like the first thing that doesn't pop into my head is like when I make my pulled pork in the crock pot.
I think of it being like iron.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. A witch's brew, a cauldron, is large and metal. My crock pot does not look like a cauldron.
Mine's oval.
Mine's oval too.
Yeah. I've seen a round one, so you can get those, witches. But, you know, it's not cast iron.
Very unfortunate. I think I speak for all witches and alternative people when we say we would buy this year-round any time of year. So it would definitely be profitable.
I mean, are they using...
Alternative people?
We're not going to dive in. All I want to know...
What does that even mean?
What are they making in their crockpot cauldrons? Are they making potions? Or are they making...
Why can't they make it in a regular crockpot? What? Right.
It doesn't make... I don't even understand why crockpot got involved last year and said, yeah, we'll make you one. They probably thought it was a joke. And then they realize, no, the witches are going to unite, and then we're going to have a problem.
False promises.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, you just don't start there, and then you won't have to keep covering it up. But sorry, witches.
But for the record, if they do make a cauldron crock pot, I'm going to buy one, too.
It's probably look cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think is the bougiest apple of them all? Spoiler alert, it's the Honeycrisp. Since 2011, it has gained so much popularity that the price of them has gone up fivefold.
I know a little bit about this because my wife loves the Honeycrisp apple so much so, and she's talked to me about the price changing over the last couple of years, that she tried other ones, the Fiji, the Gala, all those, Anna. She even tells me that she has a fake one called the Cosmic Crisp that wants to be a Honeycrisp, but it's not. It's cheaper.
Okay.
What makes a Honeycrisp apple the best?
The flavor and the crunch. It's better than a Granny Smith. It's a little bit tart, but a little bit sweet. It's like the perfect blend. And it's got the best snap.
When I think of a snap, I think of like a cookie or a cracker. Not necessarily an apple, but apparently she digs it.
Yeah, making that sound when you bite into an apple is certainly distinct. I wonder if she would be able to decipher the sound of a snap of an apple.
Here's the thing. I'm a simpler man. I like the run-of-the-mill, bottom-of-the-barrel, Red Delicious.
Oh, they're so gross.
Red Delicious.
Is that what I get? That's what I like, right?
Yes. Yes, that's what you like.
Do you think that you could hear somebody bite into an apple? Do you think that you could tell if it was a Honeycrisp or not? Like, if I bit into a Red Delicious apple, do you think that that would sound totally the same?
No. It doesn't have enough snap.
Hello.
Hello, my love.
Hi.
Big apple test time.
Alicia, I have selected three apples from the grocery store. One is the bougiest of all the apples, the one that you favor, the Honeycrisp, that was significantly more expensive than the others. Raven is going to bite into them, describe the bite, you listen to the crunch, and then you're going to guess which one is the bougiest Honeycrisp apple.
Here we go. Apple number one. It's a little sweet, tangy, sour, white on the inside, and not bruised.
All right, let's try the second apple. Remember that. I don't know if you need to take notes, Alicia, on this, on the sound of the crisp.
Yeah, okay. You have a pen, right? Yeah. Like, you're just ready for this. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. Apple number two. Definitely sweeter, not as crunchy. Oh, I think I ate a piece of the sticker.
Oh, that doesn't make sense. I don't know. No one told you to do that. No one. That you did that all on your own.
Well, my wife takes the stickers off for me.
Well, I'm certainly not your wife, as Alicia will tell you.
I'm guessing you did not wash these.
I did not wash them.
I was going to say that also means they're not washed.
Okay, here we go. Apple number three.
Definitely not.
Silent now. Silent so she can hear it.
Okay.
Sweet. It's tasty. It's almost like a little bit sugary. A little bit off-white center here. White, more kind of yellow. It's juicy.
Okay. All right, Alicia, which is the bougie Honeycrisp apple?
Number one.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, that's incorrect.
Well, then you described them wrong then.
Right. It's your fault, Raven.
Your fault.
I knew it was your fault.
Yeah. Because a Honeycrisp isn't just sweet. Mm. So you said the second two were sweet, but the first one was kind of tart too. So you described them wrong.
I mean, there's no surprise here that I failed once again.
Yep. Number one was the Granny Smith apple for $1.69 a pound. Mm-hmm. Number two was the Empire apple, also $1.69 a pound. And the number three, which was the Honeycrisp, the bougiest, most fancy, expensive apple of all time, $2.49 a pound.
I don't know what this is over here. I brought myself a Red Delicious, straight up Red Delicious.
Nobody likes Red Delicious. Like, I told you, those are the grossest. Pound over here,
and I love them.
They're like, they taste fuzzy in your mouth and make my throat hurt. I'm sorry, yeah, Alicia.
Said the third one was sweeter than the second one. Then you did it wrong. That's not a Honeycrisp. They're tart.
As usual, Raven, you've made a mistake here.
Thanks, babe. Yeah.
Bye.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by Sherwin-Williams. Shop Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale and get 40% off paints and stains now through the 27th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Vanessa and Ronaldo. Vanessa, what's going on?
So Ronaldo decided that he wants to be vegan. He claims it's for health reasons and to save money. I think it's more of the latter, but whatever. I feel like I should not have to give up meat because I need protein. I'm trying to work out. Huh. Just a lot going on, and I would like a piece of chicken.
Yes, I understand the need for chicken, but...
I love chicken. Delicious place here on this planet just for me, I'm thinking.
Ronaldo, why did you decide to go vegetarian?
Well, you know, sometimes you just need a change, and the change is what I needed was no meat. Started gaining too much weight. Couldn't do regular stuff that was part of the process of life, and I just can't do it. It's going to be healthier and money been tight. You know, meat's one of the most expensive things that's in the grocery store, so no meat.
It's funny. I think of vegan and, like, organic, all that stuff is being super pricey, but go to the cold cut counter. That's true. If you weren't doing that anymore, that's a lot of cash.
Okay, but why does Vanessa have to stop then?
I feel like it'd be just better. It'd be more efficient ways to save some money. I'm just thinking overall health is just way better.
Is it just the two of you guys, or do you have any kids?
Well, not right now. We plan to, but eventually, yes.
And Vanessa, you're very much against this.
Yeah, I should not. I'll do it. Maybe I'll give him, a week, a month or something to be fair, but permanently, absolutely not. Especially if we're going to try to have a baby, I need every nutrient I can shove in my body.
Okay.
It's science, Anna. All right. She needs it. She's a predator.
Ronaldo, how long have you stopped eating meat for?
3 months, 4 months.
Okay. Does it bother you, the smell of it in the house? Is that part of it?
Oh God. Well, I mean, yeah, it just makes me sick. Trying to be living healthier. Me and my wife, we need to remove some things out of our diets and remove some stuff out of our life that's not good for us, and this is going to be the best way to do it.
I'll eat in a parking lot without telling you from now on if I have to.
Do you think that Vanessa should have to give up meat because Ronaldo did and it'll save them money and he thinks it's just a healthier lifestyle? Or is Vanessa right? I'll eat what I want. I ate meat in this house the whole time. Just because you decided 3 months ago you weren't going to do it doesn't mean I have to do it too.
I don't know. Dealing with that, though, in the same house. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
What do you do when one spouse decides that they're going to become a vegetarian for health reasons and because it's more affordable and they want you to do it, too? It's exactly what's going on with Vanessa and Ronaldo. Ronaldo said he gave up meat about 4 months ago, he said?
Something like that, 3 to 4 months ago.
Yeah, and he wants her to do it too. He can't stand the smell now in the house when she cooks it too.
Like I get it. Like, you make a change like that, and you know, things that you're exposed to after that are going to affect you, that's for sure. I have never heard of anybody giving up meat for cost considerations, but it's interesting, that's for sure.
I mean, especially now, it's so expensive.
I mean, health costs being what they are, I get that as far as what it's costing your body, but, you know, who knows? But when you want to hang that up on somebody else, it's easier when your partner does it, but it's a lot to ask.
Yeah. What do you think? Should Vanessa have to give it up? 1-800-330-9999. Debbie, whose side are you on?
I am on her side. If he wants to go vegetarian, vegan, whatever, that's his choice. He should not make her do it unless there's some major reason. I mean, I get it. It was expensive, but I'm not giving up my hamburgers.
Right. Yeah, I get it. The thing is like, when you have a choice like that you make, right? Or even if you have like an allergy or whatever, to a certain point, everybody else, you have to learn to live with it too, right? Like, it's not like you're not going to be faced with temptation everywhere you go. So If it's at home, it's at home.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if she wants to have a hamburger, have a hamburger. He doesn't have to eat it. That's his choice.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. What do you do when your spouse gives up meat and now they want you to do it too? That's what's going on with Vanessa and Ronaldo. About 4 months ago, Ronaldo says, I'm going to stop eating meat. It'll be more cost effective for our family and it's healthier for me. And now we can't stand it that Vanessa still cooks meat at home. The smell, all of it, he wants her to give it up too.
Yeah, this is tough, right? Like, it's one thing if you want your partner to come along and you ask and you offer. But if they're resistant, you can't demand it. You can't make them do something like that, right? I mean, after all, this is what she eats on a daily basis. She says, I'm trying to stay healthy. I need my protein. We might even want to have kids at some point. I want to make sure I'm on top of that.
But if you're in a partnership, shouldn't you care about what your significant other wants you to do? What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Jim, whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm with her. I think, I think she should ask Kim to stop being controlling. And that should start with not insisting that she stop eating meat. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Big Macs for lunch. That's what Jimmy says.
Yeah. You know what I've noticed is that since I got diagnosed with celiac like a year and a half ago, and I'm gluten and dairy free, which is a lot, and I would never in a million years ask my husband to do either of those things. What I have noticed is that he is opting to eat more gluten-free things because he feels better when he does it.
Yeah.
But I can't tell him, like, don't eat a loaf of bread, right?
No, Alicia's doing the same thing with plant-based stuff. And she's even picked up some stuff that I'm like, no. Like, thanks, Jim. We had these breakfast sausages that are plant-based. And she's like, I think these are so delicious. And I can't even cook them.
No.
They just smell horrid to me.
John, whose side are you on?
Absolutely her side. Nobody has the right to tell someone else what they should eat. And they're already saving 50% of the budget. If he's not eating meat, their prices have already gone down.
Right. He should give up some other things like gas. Stuff like that.
Water, food, just in general, he should stop eating.
But if he did that, like, the budget would be awesome.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Vanessa, our audience agreed with you. It's your decision. Ronaldo, you made your decision, and no one's telling you you can't eat meat. And Ronaldo, no one's telling you you should eat meat. You don't have to. You can do whatever you want, but the same goes for your wife. And if she feels like she wants to, then she can. I'm not sure how you get around the smell in the house, but that's what the audience thought.
See, I told you, just, you know, I deal with the smell of your stinky feet. I'm going to ask you to remove your feet from the house. Let me have my chicken, please.
That's right, Ronaldo. We have to deal with your stinky feet.
One thing I'll say is the healthier I started eating, the stinkier I became in other ways. That's a true thing, so.
Those feet come from working out and from, but, you know, I guess people are saying that she needs the protein and she needs the meat. So I guess happy wife, happy life is what they say.
She needs the meat. All right. Congratulations, Vanessa. And if you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,500. Teresa, you ready to play today?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. You feeling confident?
I feel confident,
that's
yep.
That's what I like to hear. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
You got it, Teresa. Good luck. $1,500.
Okay.
Thank you.
Raven's walking out of here. We got to wait for that door to close so he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. Teresa, I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
Yep.
Number one, studies say there are 4 major benefits of having a dog. Structure and routine, companionship, mood boost, and connection. What's the name of the dog on The Simpsons?
I don't know.
Number 2, Halloween is coming up and every streaming service is ramping up their haunted movie selections. Disney Plus has a few variations of what famed movie that also has a ride named after it at both its U.S. parks?
The Haunted Mansion.
Number 3, what happens if you see Annabelle doll was one of the top trending questions on Google Trends over the weekend. The real Annabelle doll, not the one of the movie, is what type of doll?
A Barbie.
Number 4, Sabrina Carpenter was on SNL this past weekend and opened the show by reviving one of the most viral characters played by Marcelo Hernandez. What SNL character is that?
I don't know.
And number 5, K-pop Demon Hunter costumes are certainly the biggest hit of the Halloween season. You're going to be seeing a lot of them, including Rumi's wig. What color is Rumi's hair?
Blue.
Let me bring Raven back in. Come on in. Let's go.
Yo.
Teresa got one.
Not great, Teresa. Let's see how I have you. Maybe they're really challenging. Here we go.
Number one, studies say there's four major benefits of having a dog. Structure and routine, companionship, mood boost, and connection. What's the name of the dog on The Simpsons?
Is it Spot?
No, it's Santa's Little Helper.
Santa's Little Helper, right. Oh my gosh, I just blanked. Okay.
Number two, Halloween is coming up, and every streaming service is ramping up their haunted movie selections. Mm-hmm. Disney Plus has a few variations of what famed movie that also has a ride named after it at both its U.S. parks?
It's going to be Haunted Mansion, right?
Yep.
Yep.
And number three, what happens if you see the Annabelle doll was one of the top trending questions on Google Trends over the weekend.
Nothing good.
The real Annabelle doll, not the one in the movie, is what type of doll?
Raggedy Ann.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Number four, Sabrina Carpenter was on Saturday Night Live this past weekend and opened the show by reviving one of the most viral characters played by Marcelo Hernandez. What SNL character is that?
What's his name? Is it Domingo?
Yes.
Yes, Domingo, yeah.
Number five, K-pop Demon Hunter costumes are certainly the biggest hit of the Halloween season. You're going to be seeing a lot of them, including Rumi's wig. What color is Rumi's hair?
It's like purple, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, 4-1, Teresa, today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
This is Teresa, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $1,600 tomorrow, Anna.
Do you know your net worth? Or can you even list all your financial accounts? Believe it or not, most people can't. The problem is simple. When you don't track your finances, you leave hard-earned money on the table by overspending and undersaving. Monarch is the solution. An all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, you can link all your accounts to see a clear, complete picture of your financial health. With data visualizations and AI-driven insights, Monarch helps you spot patterns, cut wasteful spending, and make better financial decisions without ever touching a spreadsheet. Monarch more than pays for itself. In fact, users save over $200 a month on average. That's why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch the best budgeting app of 2025. Get 50% off your first year. That's just $50 total when you use code LEGACY at monarch.com. That's monarch.com, promo code LEGACY. Monarch, the modern way to manage money.